Welcome to Clearwater County's podcast. In this episode, we are looking at tourism in David Thompson Country, the regional tourism brand for the municipalities of Clearwater County, Town of Rocky Mountain House, and Village of Caroline. I'm here with Friends of Eastern Slopes, talking about some of the places that they manage and what it is they do. So, please, can you introduce yourselves?
I'm Dale Marshall, President of Friends of the Eastern Slopes.
I'm Suzanne Comfort, the Vice President of the Friends of the Eastern Slopes.
And what does the Friends of the Eastern Slopes do?
We maintain campgrounds.
Okay.
For the West Country. Anyway, we started in 1993. We had a meeting at Mountain Air Lodge to decide whether we could get started on opening up some of the West Country because it was getting closed down. So anyway, we had a meeting and decided to start this group and got some directors and executive and stuff put together that day. And in 94, we got put under the Societies Act and started a meeting. Our first campground was at the Ahuatinda, the Bighorn campground at the Ahuatinda. And then we moved on out of there to Eagle, to Hummingbird, Panther,
Cut off.
And then we've added 7 Mile, and then
Peppers Lake,
and Elk Creek, and then now we have Red Deer South, which consists of a 50 group campsite, one spot, and then there's one south of that. We just call them South Red Deer anyway. There's 5 campgrounds, one on the north side of the river and one on the other, and then we got James Wilson, Cartier Creek, and Deer Creek.
And all of those, I mean, they're beautiful, beautiful area. A bunch of them are in the forest through Trunk Road and others around along that Ahuatinda route out there, really into the wilderness area.
Wild Horse is another one we forgot, but anyway, okay. Yeah. Anyway, we took them on. We trying to upgrade the ones we took over from Alberta Parks. They had somebody working them probably in 1950, and they were not big enough for today's units. So we've taken and expanded. A big pile of that took place last year and the year before. We expanded the Eagle Creek and put in close to 100 sites in there 2 years ago. Last year, we took over Peppers Lake and Elk Creek and 7 Mile, and redid all the campsites and roads and everything in there, dug them out, made them big enough for today's units to be able to turn the corners and park on in the sites. And then last fall, we started on the Panther campground. We cut down the trees, dug out the stumps, and this spring, when it gets dry enough, we'll haul the gravel in and finish off those sites.
Okay.
And then we have toilets going in. We put in 2 more at Eagle Creek last fall. We got 3 to go in at Hummingbird this year, and then all new toilets at Peppers and Elk, the trout pond at Elk Creek, and 7 Mile are all going to get new toilets, plus 1 at the parking lot at Peppers Lake.
Okay. For a nonprofit volunteer society, it sounds like you guys have been very busy.
That would probably be an understatement. We've been hiring contractors for a lot of the major work just because it needs to be done, because we're working with the government, so it needs to be done by people who have proper documentation in place.
Right.
The one thing that we have changed is a lot of those had nightly camping fees, and we do not have a nightly camping fee.
Okay.
We would like you, and we are encouraging people to buy members because that's our major source of income. And we do not provide garbage pickup or takeout. You're responsible for your own garbage. We kind of operate on the basis of you pack it in, you pack it out. And we don't put toilet paper in the toilets. That, again, is your own responsibility, and we do not, at this point anyway, provide firewood. Something that could become a possibility going forward, but at this point, we don't. It's pretty it allows everybody the opportunity to go and camp for basically a $30 family membership.
And where can they buy the membership?
You can purchase your memberships online. Friends of the Eastern Slopes has a website where you can buy them, or you can buy them from camp hosts, which we have at some of the campgrounds, not all of them, but either place, or just call a director.
Okay. So as you're upgrading the various sites, and you're getting to a level of what the modern camper sort of is looking for, size being a big one.
Yeah.
So many of these sites that were built back in the 50s through the 80s just couldn't imagine the size of what we
bring. Yeah, it was a truck camper and a tent was the only thing that could get in there.
Is there anything else that you're looking and hoping to do with the sites long term? Just keep make sure they're sustainable, or to grow anything?
We've expanded them all, made so there's as many sites as possible in a lot of the sites, in the campsites. We're making as many sites as we can there. We think for now we've taken on a pretty good number. I think we have just under 700 sites is what we have in all our campgrounds added up.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah, that's a lot of people. We've taken out all the group camping out of all the sites we had. And first come, first serve on everything. So it's, and still looking forward to this $30 membership, which I can't see any reason in the world why people wouldn't want to jump out at it.
Right. So there's no reservation system.
None.
It's go out there and look for a site that you like and go in. And the only fee expect. Now, did they have to do, because the public land camping fee?
You have to have one or the other. Okay. Well, if you are in one of our campgrounds, you have to have one or the other. You can determine which one it would be. For the Bighorn, not so much, because that's under the federal jurisdiction. But people are encouraged to purchase a membership, but we cannot enforce anything. We have no enforcement of any sort.
But the membership goes to support you guys directly.
That's what pumps the toilets out and fixes up things that are broken, things like that,
Great.
Which is a big item, if you think about it.
So what, besides bringing their own toilet paper, making sure that they haul all their garbage out, I try to encourage that too.
Mm-hmm,
What are some of the other things that visitors might expect?
Well, we do expect that if you have horses, that you will clean up your site afterwards. You're not allowed to tie to the trees. There's high lines in Hummingbird and Eagle Creek, Panther, and at the Bighorn.
Cut off.
Yeah, so use the high lines and clean them up. Leave them better than you found them, hopefully. And, if you come along and the last guy didn't, we really appreciate it if they would clean up before they went.
Right.
I guess we have highlines at Hummingbird, too.
Right.
Yeah, so horses are allowed in most of the campgrounds, as are ATVs, with the exception of the Bighorn.
Now, a lot of people think that, you go out in the wilderness and they just let their dog...
Oh, that's our biggest problem we got.
Go wherever and poop wherever. But the truth is, this is a public land that's being used by people a lot. And so, there should be an expectation of cleaning up after your horses, cleaning up after your pets as well.
Well, and truthfully, dogs or cats, I suppose, need to be under control. I mean, you don't let your horse run at random. Your dog can't run at random either, because you might not want my dog at your camp. So, there again, I said, we really have no enforcement, but common sense needs to prevail. And you are liable if your dog creates an issue with my camp.
And I'll say, at Clearwater County, we receive a number of calls from people who are out camping. Their dogs run off chasing some of the wildlife in the area, right? And that dog can run away. And then they don't know their way back, or they can't, or people need to leave, and they call the county asking if we can keep our eye out. But we're a big, big area, and that dog could be a long ways out into the middle of nowhere.
Well, the best thing would be if you had your dog on a leash attached to something firm that can't run away. I mean, I've seen so many dogs on a leash, all right. But the dog is on a leash, but it's not attached to anything.
Right.
So, I mean, you have to be very specific, we find, about the rules, because people will bend them every which way possible.
Fire rings are in every location?
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Now, they're not in every campground. Are they attached? Like to have a approved one for when the fire bans are on?
Okay.
They've got to be attached. Some of ours are not.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
There's two different things. There's
some type of notice would go up during a fire ban saying these don't comply or something like
that.
Okay.
That's something we just learned about, but anyway,
Yeah.
Oh, it's good to know.
And hoping that we can get some of them attached to the ground.
What is something you would like your visitors to know and understand when they come out?
Respect. You know, mostly you don't throw your garbage down toilet holes and you don't abuse what you got there. And
treat the property like it's your own.
Or better.
Yeah, we want those to be around for a long time for other people to use, right?
That's right. And I mean, common sense again, you know, like don't light a fire under the tree and don't go away and leave your campfire burning. Put your fires out, put your food away so that it's not visible to the, or accessible by a bear, I guess. And I mean, you're in the backcountry, so bears live there. That's home.
And I know bears are a big concern, but you know, even things like squirrels and feral horses and whatever else is out there, they come looking for things too. And I know people, they're certainly beautiful to look at, and squirrels are so cute.
Right.
But you don't want to train them to come up and be taking food away from people, because then when you leave, the next family's there. They might not want that experience, and that squirrel might get a little aggressive.
Yeah.
Well, and I think one of the other things that's overlooked by particularly horse people is they don't realize that when they leave their horse feed out, you are leaving out a bear bait, basically, because it's generally oat-based, and that's what they eat. So you need to put away your horse feed as well as your people food.
Okay. That's a good reminder. Anything else you would like people to know about Friends of Eastern Slopes or any of your campgrounds?
Well, there's always lots of things, but when somebody's looking you in the eye, you can't always remember them. Yeah.
Well, we accept donations from anybody that's willing to give us one, and we are not averse to having anybody come to work on a volunteer basis. Like, we do a cleanup at all of the campgrounds annually.
What time of year?
Generally in the spring.
Okay.
Like, we try and do Bighorn in May. It's not happening this year, but we will be at Eagle, and likely while there again, Panther is sort of under construction. So people are going to have to give us a little bit of leeway, because we do have some construction projects that are underway, and we can't have people in the campgrounds when we're working on them, just for safety reasons. And we had the same issue last year, but I mean, the campground will be closed. That is the only time any of the campgrounds that we operate will be closed, is if we are doing construction in there. And people need to be respectful of that. Not take down the signs or take the lock off the gate because they feel it's their right, because it's not their right. But any other time, they're more than welcome to be there.
Okay.
Yeah, and they are open 12 months a year, 24 hours a day.
Yeah, I have scouts that camped out at Pepper's Lake in the winter one time.
There was some there a couple weeks ago.
It was, there was so much snow. They had to dig down a long ways before they could go ice fishing.
Yeah.
I understand there's quite a lot of snow up at the Hummingbird area this year.
And I was a scout leader for 12 years. And one of my favorite hikes was actually Cut Off Creek out of 40 Mile Cabin.
Oh, okay.
And that was just so enjoyable. We didn't do the wagon route. We went off to the south. Yeah. First week of July, a chunk of the last kilometer or so before we got to Clearwater River, before we had to cross the Clearwater, was flooded out. A beaver had built a dam somewhere and just flooded the whole region. So we were scrambling for water up to our knee, between our knees and our thighs, trying to find the trail as we were walking across there. But the boys were still remember it, even though it's 10 years, 12 years later. It was quite an adventure. It's such a beautiful area. And that trek I really enjoyed because I'm not the most athletic and it was all valleys that we were able to walk through. But the scenery was amazing. And the boys, you know, a little bit of fishing. We got to go play in some creeks and rivers at the same time. Unfortunately, learned a little bit about beaver fever. things like that do happen. But it truly is a great wilderness experience. Like, it's really rejuvenating
for the soul. I tell a lot of people, don't go to Banff and Jasper. Look what you got outside your door out here. Like, mm-hmm. We've got more to offer with less people and less restrictions. Yeah.
Not the same services as what people might expect in Banff and Jasper, yeah. But sometimes that's for the better.
Yeah, by far.
Yeah, there is no services. So, I mean, you need to survive with what you have with you. But it's very possible. Yeah. And it's a very good experience, I think.
So, you know, encourage people to bring, like, their own toilet paper, garbage in and garbage out. Need to bring their own water?
Now,
that's a matter of choice.
Yeah, that's in the West Country as non-potable water.
Okay.
There's people that swear by it, and sometimes they got a little bit of rust in the spring in there, you know, like you were talking about earlier, and then it clears up, and some of them are just think it's the best water in the world, and other people won't touch it with a 10-foot pole.
But it has not been tested, so.
No.
Okay.
No, and no. Then, of course, there's quite a few springs out there, if you know where to find them, that the water's as good as you can get.
Well, and the river's always right there, too. I mean, so if you bring your own drinking water, there's plenty of wash water available.
And I hate to have to say this, dispose of your gray and black tanks in appropriate places.
Oh, that's yes. Right. Yeah.
So true. And there is places to dispose of your sewage or whatever in Sundry and I believe Caroline.
Racinus.
Quite a few along that
Rocky
road there.
Rocky has their own.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're available everywhere. There is none in the backcountry. But no, you don't drive down the road and open your tank.
Yeah. That, can't say enough about people who should be punished for that.
Well, there again, it's respect.
Yeah.
I mean, you wouldn't do that in your own front yard, so why would you do it out there just because you think it's nobody's backyard? But it is, it's everybody's backyard.
Clearwater County has created the Sasquatch symbol and partnered with several other counties in order to get the message of, you know, welcome to our backyard, but please treat it with respect.
Yeah,
and we have some of those signs in cut off.
Yeah, I think they're in all of our campgrounds.
I think
probably.
Duncan, was on that thing. Another thing is that a lot of people don't know that there is no power to have service locks. There's no services at any of our...
No cell service either.
No cell service, no hookups of any kind. We don't have that kind of stuff at any of our sites.
And rules around generators are just be polite. You don't be running them all night long, really noisy.
Yeah. I believe that our real estate 11 o'clock in the evening and 8 in the morning. So just there again, common sense.
If you got health problems and you need to have one run, then you got health problems and you need to have one run.
But there are ways to make those quieter then.
Yeah.
That's true.
And most of the machines you'd have are battery operated too, so you just have to make sure your batteries are charged up. But we do have a friend of ours that needs power a lot.
And then they figure out their way to work around that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was so good to meet with you. I appreciate you taking the time and talking a little bit about Friends of Eastern Slopes. And we look forward to more of the campgrounds getting some upgrades and a little bit of expansions.
Yeah,
well, we're still looking for funding to do our last batch of inheritance, but I guess we'll see. Fingers crossed.
Okay.
Yeah, a good thing about our membership too is some days you go up to a guy to sell him a membership and he says, here's my membership, here's $500.
Oh,
wow. Put it towards whatever you got to do. Like that happens quite a bit.
A lot of generosity for the people that enjoy the area.
They know what we do. Like we, you know, it's unreal the amount of volunteer hours we put in out there. I think last year I put 1,050, the year before 860 or something, and you're not very far behind. Mm-hmm. And that's just the ones we think about adding up kind of thing. Yeah, it takes a lot to run this organization. We have a pretty good group of directors, and you just got to thank the people that help, the contractors that help out, the everybody we use out there treats us really, really well.
And I would imagine all the donations basically go towards getting the work done out on the sites.
Oh, absolutely.
All of it does, yeah.
Yeah, we have no paid people at all. I mean, do provide a little bit of an honorarium to the camp host, and that program has worked out very well for us actually, because it gives somebody in the campground to give direction to people, to answer questions for things that they don't know, and to provide guidance for the new unexperienced campers, and hopefully as well collect a membership. And then we try and pay mileage, because when you start going out west every day,
it's a long ways.
Well, it's costly and it's hard on vehicles. So, yeah.
To finish the interview off, I want to ask each of you, what's your favorite site?
Well, I guess we outfitted in the Panther, and I'll always like the Panther, but I kind of like the Bighorn too.
Okay.
I'm sort of like Sue. I've been all over places in different times in my life. Different spots are a little different, but I'm a fisherman, and if I can get a site on the bank of that little Pepper's Lake, it's become one of my favorites. And then they all depend on what you're doing,
right?
You know, we're just lucky enough to have those sites.
In fairness, they're all really beautiful spots. They each offer a little bit something unique in each place. It's, yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.